We live in a fast-paced world, in a time where we are flooded with information, so much so that it is hard at times to keep up with it all. A poll conducted by the American Psychological Association showed that there was a significant increase in the stress level of Americans since the presidential election. And researchers are reporting that mental health issues are on the rise. Now, there are numerous factors contributing to this spike in anxiety in our country. An article published by NPR states in a January 2017 survey, both Republicans and Democrats said they are stressed about the nation's future at 59 and 76% respectively. People also said that worries about acts of terrorism and police violence toward minorities and general personal safety also are increasing. And the number of people stressed about personal safety increased from 29% to 34% from August 2016 to January 2017, the highest percentage since the survey was first conducted in 2008. Add to that the concern for war with North Korea, those fearing deportation, and the recent onslaught of volatile weather, and the increased acts of racism and hate speech that now are openly displayed in the public arena, and you have the makings of a toxic cocktail threatening to rob the peace of even the most mature follower of Jesus Christ. But those who believe the Bible know that these things are just a sign of the times that we're living in. And as I said last week, this stormy season ought to cause us to look outside ourselves and look up to the true source of our peace in the midst of this stress-fraught world. These times should bolster our faith and not weaken it as we see God's word being fulfilled before our eyes. And while we can't control the winds of change and trouble in life, we can control how we respond to them. The enemy would want us to focus on the problems of the world and the problems in our own lives. He tries to weigh us down with worries and trip us up with sin, though, so that we will become weary and lose hope. The writer of Hebrews tells us to prevent this, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who carved out the path of faith for us and brought it to completion. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, compares the Christian journey to a long-distance race and uses the athletic analogy of a Greek amphitheater that has rows and rows of spectators watching the race. It was written to encourage the Hebrew Christians who were experiencing persecution and who in their weariness were considering going back to Judaism. The verses before these give a roll call of faithful Jewish people from biblical history who are presented as examples of those who persevered with patience through trials while waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. Verses 32 through 40 of chapter 11 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So these were not mere bystanders watching a race while cheering on the runners. These were men and women who ran the race and crossed the finish line. They, through the historical record of their faithfulness, encouraged those who come after them to run the race with perseverance. This image of a foot race run with endurance describes a marathon and not a sprint. You never see a marathon runner carrying anything with them, do you? Why? Because it would weigh them down. Well, in the same way, we are encouraged to throw off every weight that would slow us down and every sin that would trip us up. Far too many Christians carry with them the unnecessary baggage of unconfessed sin, unforgiveness, the pain of past hurts and disappointments, resentments toward other people, and many other weights that Jesus died to set us free from. The heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 accomplished great things not because of who they were, but because of what they believed. These early heroes were not perfect by any means, but God never gave up on them. And that's the good news. God didn't give up on them, and God does not give up on us. Praise be to God. Amen. God never just writes us off, but roots for us to keep on running and stay focused and not to give up. Preacher Carlisle Marnie once said that because God doesn't give up on us, we shouldn't give up on ourselves. He said the last person on earth you will forgive a weakness is in yourself. Wait on God, he continues. When we have turned back, God can turn us around. When we have destroyed, God can rebuild. The heroes of the Bible surround us as a cloud of witnesses today. Not because of who they were. It was what they believed. It was who they believed in. They trusted God, and God did a great work through them. And just because you are a person of faith doesn't mean that the race will be easy. Amen?
Amen.
That's a lie from the devil. And that's why some people give up. The minute trouble comes, they think they were sold a bag of false goods. Amen? But all you have to do is read the Bible to see God didn't promise a rose garden. Amen? The stories of the cloud of witnesses show us that. And though it is difficult to watch a faithful person suffer, we know that there is no greater witness for Christ than the person of faith who experiences pain and can still praise God in the midst of it. Jesus did not exempt himself from pain. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us in verses 2 and 3, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As in a marathon, there is a prescribed course for runners to follow. So we who are running the Christian race have a path marked out for us. Just like a runner must keep mindful of what is before him, so that he won't get tripped up or slowed down by an obstacle on the course, we must be mindful of where our focus lies so that we successfully make it to the finish line. Our focus must be fixed on Jesus, who ran this race before us. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He opened up the way for us, and our job is to follow in his footsteps. He has made it across the finish line, and his encouragement and the thought of his welcome and his congratulations at the end are central motivators for us to continue in hope and faith and patience. So to help us to be mindful of where our focus should lie, with the Spirit's help, I have come up with two acronyms using the word focus. The first one is follow only Christ, the unique Savior. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Focus. Follow only Christ, the unique Savior. The second acronym is fix our concentration unswervingly and single-mindedly on Christ. Focus. Fix our concentration unswervingly and single-mindedly on Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing praises and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. See, we must saturate ourselves with the Word of God, with spiritual songs and things that remind us of the goodness and the promises of God. What we fill our minds with is what we will focus on. Where are your minds focused throughout the day? Where? What are you filling your minds with? What we focus on will determine our state of mind. You know, sometimes Ronald will tell me, Jay, would you turn off that news? Because I'm all listening, trying to find out what's happening. And then I get all worked up. And he says, turn it off. Stop reading it. Stop watching it. Because it causes me to have anxiety. Amen. Watch your focus. Yes, we have to know what's going on in the world. But you know, you could read that stuff all day, every day. Amen. It doesn't change a thing. But what it does is it causes anxiety. And in an anxiety-filled world, we can still be at peace because the source of our peace lives within us and has gone before us, paving the way for us to successfully cross the finish line and hear him say, well done, my child. Well done. Don't you want to hear Jesus say, well done? Amen. I do. Amen. I want to hear him say, well done, my child. I want to cross the finish line and Jesus to give me a high five and say, way to go. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Let us fix our eyes our thoughts, our desires, our every breath on Jesus Christ, the perfecter and the pioneer of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Father, we thank you. Sometimes we make it harder than what it is. But your word is our guide. And you have not given us your word alone. You've given us your spirit who lives within us. Help us, Lord, to follow the instructions of your word, to submit our lives to the guidance and control of your spirit. God, that we might be examples of your peace in a world that is just in an uproar. Then people can look to us and say, why do you have peace? And we can point to you and introduce them to you as Savior. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.